91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour we visit with historian Dr. Joan Mickelson, who's written a biography of Joseph Wesley Young. He founded the city of Hollywood, Florida. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Young had a real estate background in Southern California and transferred the name of Hollywood to Southeast Florida. He thought the subtropical climate could duplicate conditions for a thriving movie-making industry. Joseph Young was a disciple of the City Beautiful School of Planned Layouts, and his Hollywood by the Sea development fit the mold. Both the 1926 hurricane and 1929 stock market crash were even more influential. Dr. Joan Mickelson's book is Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful. That's in minutes after a news update. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, it's today's Topical Currents Tuesday edition. Well, this Sunday, August 6th, is the City of Hollywood, Florida's official Founders Day celebration, which honors Joseph Wesley Young, Jr. August 4th is actually his birthday. Young created Hollywood in the City Beautiful style, an ideal also championed by Coral Gables developer George Merrick.
Joseph Young was a talented visionary, and he was a key force behind the construction of Port Everglades as well. Both his city and his fortunes were crossed by a hurricane and the start of the Great Depression.
With us now is historian Dr. Joan Mickelson. She's written the book Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida. Welcome to you, Dr. Mickelson.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you, and we'll get to all things Joseph Wesley Young, Jr. shortly, but I would like you to talk about your own very deep ties to both Hollywood and your family ties to Joseph Young, because there's so many of them.
Yes, actually, I was born in Hollywood because my father had met J.W. Young in Indianapolis after Daddy left the Navy. He was working for Young before Young had actually bought the land for Hollywood. As soon as Young had the land, he sent 12 men down to start this tract of Palmetto as a city, and Daddy was one of the 12 men. So he knew Young right through to the end of his life.
Did they call him J.W.?
They called him J.W.
Sounds like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And that was Young's Hollywood Land and Water Company. That's who he worked for.
Yes, he did. You're right. Yeah.
And you say your father actually laid out many of the streets in Hollywood and named them? Not the presidential ones,
right.
though, right?
Yeah. He was a surveyor. He was the initial surveyor for Hollywood Boulevard. I have a photo of him standing where it began, and then 50 years later. The streets that he named were the ones south of Washington when Young bought more land down toward Hallandale. He didn't have names for them, and he ran into the office and said, I need names. And my father had been in the Navy, so he came up with some Navy officers. And that's how we got Dewey and Funston.
I thought this was interesting. You said in August of 1922, my father, who knew where the best ground was, purchased two lots in the newly formed little ranches at what would be 2301 Polk Street. I believe he said the land there's 14 feet above sea level, and each lot was a half acre. That gave him a full acre, and that's where I grew up. So tell us more about the little ranches and what it was like to grow up there.
Well, when Young,
and why he chose it to be the 14 feet above sea level.
Right. Well, if you're a surveyor's daughter, you know about the land under your feet. And I can tell people when I'm talking about Hollywood, that's the highest ground. It will never flood. It's pretty high ground for our part of Florida. Young created the lake section because it wasn't there. It was just water. So 11th to 14th was tidal, and from 11th on it was underwater until Young made the land. So that's man-made land. But moving west from 14th, land goes up to the railroad, and the railroad, Flagler put his railroad on the highest ground. Mm-hmm. He knew how to do it. So that's the highest area in Hollywood. And it was lovely. We had empty lots all around with little baby rabbits and periwinkles and all kinds of, you know, it was just open. I'm trying to think of the land turtles' names. Anyway, these turtles would come walking through. I had a tree that my friends would come and climb. But then my mother built a school on that land, the outdoor school. So half our property was the outdoor school. And I went there as a child, and then I went to Hollywood Central that Young had built.
Your picture really shows some of those open spaces in the book in the early days of the city of Hollywood. But talking about high ground, the 1926 hurricane, those waters, the seawater reached to Federal Highway, which is, of course, US 1. So that was a considerable distance.
Actually, it reached all the way to the FEC railroad tracks, briefly.
But not over.
But it didn't go over. Mm-hmm. And my parents were both there in the hurricane, and my father said he went out and he tasted the water and it was salt. But it receded quite quickly, but it did make it all the way to the FEC on that 14-foot piece of land that wasn't going to go any higher.
Well, tell us more about the City Beautiful movement of the early 20th century, which so influenced Joseph
right.
Young.
I got a degree at the University of Chicago, and we all heard about Daniel Burnham and a Chicago architecture, so I really got quite into that. Burnham was the architect for the White City, the World's Fair, the great... Mm. And as he built that, he realized that he was reclaiming Chicago Lake waterfront for the people. And so this was part of his beginning of thinking that waterfronts should be for people's use, and that the cities also should be beautiful for the people that lived in them. And they had industrial waterfronts up until that time in many places. But he also thought there should be parks and just roads that were beautiful, drives that people could go around and enjoy living in their city. And he called it the City Beautiful Movement. It started in 1909, and it spread around the country. And another Florida city beautiful is Orlando.
Plus Coral Gables.
Coral yeah. Gables, right. I
Coral Gables, you mentioned, yeah.
I wanted to ask you mentioned that you continually hear misinformation about Joseph Young and Hollywood, even from historians. So why is that?
And what are those?
Yeah, well, I do want to know what they are that you can dispel now. But why is there always so much misinformation?
Possibly because people don't read.
Oh.
We writers always wonder, is anybody reading my book? One piece of information was that J.W. Young was shot in his house. He died of a heart attack.
Okay, and what other myths?
Well, the big one is, and this one would be fairly obvious if you really weren't thinking about it, that Hollywood was named for Hollywood, California, the movie capital, because Young loved movies. Well, there's a lot wrong with that. Young was living in Long Beach, California, from about 1902 to 18, and at that time, the movie capital was Long Beach. It was silent movies. When he named Hollywood in 1920, Hollywood, California was a little subdivision, and it wasn't a movie capital. So there's no connection. He just liked the name.
But didn't he have an ambition to have a film industry
nope.
in the area?
No. None. Nope. I know of all the buildings that he built, there is no sound set. He never even built a theater. Someone else built a theater in town, but he didn't build it. The only filming he did, and he had seen this done in Long Beach, he had a newsreel made of the building of the city, and he did it just once. And that still exists. I've seen clips from it.
How about the myth of 1055 Hollywood Boulevard and the ghost? Or is that a myth?
Oh, I've been through the house several times. It's a beautiful mansion. He hadn't been living there. He'd been living in the north, but he was so ill, and they thought he had a flu, so he and his wife came back down to live in the house in January, February, when it was cold up north. And he had a heart disease that probably could be treated today, but in fact, he died in the house. So I don't think there would be a ghost there, because they went to the trouble of taking him back to Long Beach to be buried, where he had a child buried, and after that his wife was buried in Long Beach. So I really think his ghost, if anywhere, is in Long Beach.
You write that his journey from an unschooled youth to the creator of a thriving city was particularly difficult. Tell us about his early years.
He was born in a territory, not a state, the Washington Territory. He was born in Seattle. And it became in 1882, and it soon became a state, but it was very, you know, primitive, wide open, pioneering. His parents moved back and forth between California, Washington, and Oregon, but we did pin it down that he was of the six kids was born in Washington. They hadn't any money. His father didn't have a good job, as far as I know. And when Young was about 16, they went to the Yukon gold mining, which wasn't very successful. So by the time Young was 18, he was on his own, and he went down to L.A. where there was oil going on. And
it must have had like a Jack London feel to it.
Yeah, I wish there was more document. This is all, you know, vaguely what we know from the family. It isn't documented. It'd make a wonderful story, but it was true enough. That was how he was raised.
And you mentioned this woman, Virginia Elliott Lathrop Tenaik. She's the one who wrote a little bit about those years?
Yes. Actually, Virginia was my godmother.
Oh, okay.
And her name was Virginia Elliott. She and her parents came down in 24 when she was a teenager, and her father worked for Young, and my parents knew them, obviously. She was a reporter for one of the Miami papers. I think it was the Herald. So she knew how to report. And finally, the city had her put together what she knew about the development of the city up through World War II, I think would be about where she cuts it off, because she lived through it. It's an anecdotal book, and it really tells you what it was like to be there in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. She was able to interview Mrs. Young, who died in 1955. And there were Young family scrapbooks and papers at that time. The current descendant that we know of says, as far as he knows, they have disappeared. So I didn't have that opportunity. But I did find a lot of her sources, Virginia Tenaik sources. So I do recommend that as, you know, like a companion to mine, which is more of a history, and hers is really what it was like to be there at the time. But she's a reporter, so her facts are good.
We're speaking with Dr. Joan Mickelson, and she's a Florida historian, biographer, author, editor, blogger, and her latest book is Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back, and we'll open the phones and email.
And we're back. It is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and author and historian Dr. Joan Mickelson. We're talking about Joseph Wesley Young, Jr., of course, the founder of Hollywood, Florida. Joan Mickelson, tell us more about Young and his ties to Indianapolis and also Carl Fisher and how that worked.
Right, yes. Actually, Carl Fisher was very important to Young. Young had worked his way from Long Beach, California, creating developments in Arizona, and eventually he got to Indianapolis, which at that time was the automobile building capital of the U.S., and so he saw it as a coming place. This is during World War I in 1918, and he soon caught on to the importance of Carl Fisher, who was a major figure. I'm surprised he's even not as well known as he should be, but Fisher was already coming to Miami in 1915. He had already built an east-west highway across the U.S., the Lincoln Highway, and in 1915 he put through the Dixie Highway to bring people down from Indianapolis to his property in Miami. And Young liked that kind of attitude. He would, I'm sure if they spent time together, they must have had a good time together.
Sounds like they were kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits, right. And very visionary men, and also able to get something done once they thought of it.
Fisher's money came from the automotive headlight business. Where did Young's money come from?
He earned it. He had none. He had to leave Long Beach because there had been a disaster. His life was full of disasters. There had been a flood over his property. So he went to Arizona and built a development, which he sold and had some money. And then he decided to move to Indianapolis, and his development at Speedway there, which is right next to the track, sold very well, because by this time he knew he was wanting to build a city So he was able to make money out of his properties. He didn't just sell land. He sold stock, and he had backers. So with those backers, he became a millionaire, really. But
so did Carl Fisher, was it his influence that brought him down to Florida?
Yes. Yeah, he came down to see what Fisher was doing in Miami. And I wouldn't be surprised if I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed at the Flamingo Hotel that Fisher had just built in 1919. Because Young proceeded to hire away the architects of the Flamingo Hotel, Rubush and Hunter, to design his hotels.
Of course, that was part on the western part of the bay. A lot of people don't realize that early Miami, the real money was on the the west part of the bay.
Facing the bay.
Rather than the ocean.
Well, that's one thing that Young has been given credit for, building on the actual ocean. He knew when he bought his land he was going to buy that barrier island, and he got it right away. As soon as he bought the first square mile on the railroad, he believed in transportation, so he had the railroad. Then he bought the entire beach island, which starts just north of Hallandale and goes all the way to where it meets Port Everglades. So Young bought that immediately. He was going to build his hotel facing the ocean, which he did.
When did he meet and marry Jessie?
Oh, they were a very loving couple. He met Jessie about the minute he got to Long Beach. He heard her singing in church. She was a little older than he was, and from that point on, he was 20, and she was about 24. He had to have her, and they were married. So she was actually from Long Beach and had family there, which might have been part of his tie to the city. They had four children, but their baby daughter died as an infant, and so they had the three sons.
If you want to join in the conversation, we're talking about Hollywood, the city of Hollywood, and its founder, Joseph W. Young, Jr., with the author of Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, biography of the founder of Hollywood, Dr. Joan Mickelson. Our number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Any questions about Hollywood? The doctor can answer. The doctor's in. And our email is radio@wlrn.org.
Joan, tell us more about the 1923 creation of Liberia within the city of Hollywood. Of course, it was built for African-American workers.
Yes, it was not in the city of Hollywood. You have to go back to the 20s and remember that not only was it prohibition, it was also segregation. When Young got to Hollywood, when he started building his, laying out his property, he was fortunate in finding all these wonderful black Bahamians. There were a lot of white workers, too. But he had all these black Bahamians that were living in unincorporated Dania and Hallandale. And they all came to work for him. We have pictures of them. You know, he treated them like all the other workers. In fact, Mr. Young would go out and meet with his workers and talk to them. And I think at some point he discovered that when he incorporated Hollywood, they would not be allowed to live in the city they were building, which I think came as a shock to a Californian.
Or own property.
No, they couldn't own property. So he was planning Liberia, which was separate. He put it on the main road, the Dixie Highway. It isn't right next to Hollywood because he didn't own the land right next to Hollywood. He had to buy the first piece of land he could. But it had a main road, a circle for a hotel. He had land for churches, and he built a school. And had it been incorporated, it would have been only the second all-black incorporated city in Florida.
Where is that on today's map?
Now it has been incorporated completely. Well, it would be sort of to the northwest, on the northwest section, but not very far west. Some of it would be on Dixie Highway going about to a lake that's been put in since. There's a lake there, Crystal Lake, that covers some of what used to be Liberia.
Speaking so obviously, Dania and Hallandale were older communities then.
Dania was incorporated in 1904 and had been settled earlier, and Hallandale was just a tiny farming community at that point. They were created by Flagler. When he put its railroad through, there were no towns at all in Florida.
Dania was known for its tomatoes.
They both were. But Dania was a much bigger city than Hallandale. Hmm. And yes, they grew tomatoes all up and down from Pompano down to Miami.
I think it's interesting. We were talking about the African Americans not being able to own property or live in the, but we there's that controversy right now in Hollywood about naming the streets where three of them in the African American neighborhood are named after Confederate generals. So they
Forrest and Lee.
Forrest Lee and where's the third one?
Oh, I forget.
Forrest. I wrote them down. Forrest, Lee, and Hood.
Hood, yeah.
Hood Streets. So the commission voted to begin the process of changing the streets named after them. And I guess they're having the final vote the end of this month.
August 30th.
Yeah.
Tell us more about 1925 and Young building the Hollywood Beach Hotel. An amazing project.
It is an amazing. Well, that was all his original plan. He was going to have the city with a wide boulevard that would terminate at the beach, in the big beach hotel, and then you would go past three ornamental circles, they're not traffic circles, to another big hotel on the west. He had a couple of hotels built already, and finally he was able to start. He had to get to the island, remember. He had to build roads and a bridge to get his trucks to build the hotel. So by the time he was able to start, he hired a lot of people, and he brought in cement, and it is a poured cement hotel. It's a fortress. And he had it all put together, all 200 rooms. I think that's right.
It was quite large for that.
It's very large. It's the largest poured cement hotel on the coast. And he wanted to outdo Flagler, who had built frame hotels.
Right.
It took his men 90 days to build this thing. And I think it's gone through, you know, hurricane after hurricane. And it
90 days is just
90 days.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he again hired lots and lots of workers. He put up pup tents for the workers and then built a barracks for the workers. All of these would go later. This is another thing that people get wrong. Tent City was not the pup tents he put up. He had already built a tent city on the other side to the south of where the hotel is. And that was really little frame cabins. And they had running water, electricity, and maid service.
Well, most people associate Hollywood with Young Circle. So tell us the entire story of Young Circle.
Well, the entire story would be that my father surveyed the land from the boulevard, from the railroad down to where Young wanted the circle. And Young said, get it ready, I have visitors coming. And they were still growing green beans in it, and it was muddy. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-acre circle. It started out as a botanical garden, and it was called Circle Park. Young immediately had his first hotel built overlooking it, so that if you're driving along the Dixie and you happen to look in this total empty wilderness, you would see this beautiful hotel. It was all lit up all the time, so you'd turn in and see it. When the president died, who was Warren Harding, they changed
the
name.
Who had visited Hollywood.
Oh, that's right, yes. He had been brought to visit Hollywood and suddenly died a few months later, actually. They named the circle for Harding. So I grew up with Harding Circle. Young didn't want anything named for himself, but when he died in 1934, the following year, 1935, the city commission voted to rename it the Joseph W. Young Circle.
When he died, he was only 51 years old.
Yeah.
And he had a lot more in mind for what he was going to do. Tell us about some of the plans that he wanted to put into
He had already built Port Everglades. Port Everglades about 1925. He again hired away somebody from Fisher named Frank Dickey, who was a wonderful engineer that actually laid out the port. Young, by this time, Dania had joined Hollywood. It was part of Hollywood, so Young already owned land almost up to the port. And he was planning to have an industrial area in that western side of the port. And then if he thought about it, he would probably wanted to go all the way across the state to the other coast. But he really had plans to have more industry around the port, because Hollywood had none. It wasn't really built to be an industrial city. But he knew that he was going to build the port and then the industries. But first there was the 26th hurricane, which stopped all money coming in. And then there was the depression that came along, and then unfortunately Young died. He probably could have pulled it back together again if he'd been able to live longer.
Did he lose everything?
No, by no means. What a good question. He lost the property he owned in Hollywood, except his home, because his companies were called bankrupt, and you were allowed to keep your home. However, he already had a number of other companies up around New York. He was building on the IND subway line. He was not building, buying land. And he was creating a resort in the Adirondacks called Hollywood in the Hills. So he died a millionaire. He left his wife very well off. It just was his properties in Hollywood were no longer his.
We're speaking with Dr. Joan Mickelson. We're speaking about her book, Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, so stay with us. 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org.
And we return, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and historian Dr. Joan Mickelson. We're talking about her book, Joseph W. Young, Jr., and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, that's easy enough, 1-800-743-9576. Also, email radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. First caller we have from Delray Beach, it's Gloria. Gloria, hi there.
Yes, good morning, or good afternoon, Joseph. I'm calling to ask Dr. Mickelson if she remembers the Riverside Military Academy. You're laughing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was a teenager.
Some of your bows from there,
yes.
Perhaps?
Yeah, the boys called them river rats, and the girls went out with them. Young had built a beautiful hotel out on the Third Circle, and the city didn't really quite know what to do with it in the early 30s depression. So Riverside Military was in Gainesville, Georgia, and
yes,
their leader, Sandy Beaver, thought it would be a good way to save on money and come down to Florida in the winter. So he brought his cadets down during the 30s to, I believe, the 60s.
Really? I lost track because I moved up to Washington for a while. And I think my father was originally from around Gainesville, and he attended up there. But I grew up on Miami Beach, and in the 30s, I was, and we used to take a ride up to Hollywood, and I remember those expansive boulevards and circles and everything that were all abandoned after the boom busted. But Riverside
right.
Military Academy was there.
It was out in the, for them, it was really out in almost the Everglades. And then when
in the boonies, huh?
Absolutely, yes. But they got into town.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're
Thanks
welcome.
For calling, Gloria.
Okay. And we'll move along. Another caller from Plantation, Patrick. Patrick, you're up. Hi.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing? And thank you for your program today.
Good.
Young, I believe, built his home at 1055 Hollywood Boulevard, and I think he spent about $30,000 building it. But I had read that he also had plans for building a larger mansion right on the ocean. Did you ever hear about that, Doctor?
Yes, I did, and I didn't know that anybody else had. I heard about it from my parents because my parents, had known him. There was a little freshwater lake called Duck Lake that was where Sheridan, just north of Sheridan on the beach. It was in the sand.
Yes.
And Young was planning to put a home there, and he would have a boat in this freshwater lake.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the 26 hurricane filled it in.
Oh, filled in the lake.
Filled in the lake. Yep.
Sure.
So
I guess he was going to spend quite a bit more money to build his mansion, though.
Well, he has a pretty nice mansion as it was. I mean, he was just going to build another one, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great question. Nobody else has mentioned that.
And Liberia is north of Sheridan and west of Dixie Highway, I believe.
It's really part of Hollywood now, so it couldn't be north of Sheridan. It has to be.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. what the borders are anymore. I mean, it's Hollywood.
That's just what my map showed me anyway. Uh-huh. But as far as blacks owning land, I believe the Frost family sold them 50-foot lots north of the west of the tomato packing plant, and he sold them lots for $5 a piece at $1 a year payment.
That could be, but I'm not a Dania historian, and I just can't verify that. Yeah. But I know that's where they lived, yes, just west of Dania.
Well, thank you so very much, and I thoroughly enjoy your discussion today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
If you'd like to join in, our number 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. You have an email?
Yes, Jason wants to know if he built the Florida Vacation Bible School in Hollywood.
No, he didn't build it for them. That's the Hollywood Beach Hotel that he built as a massive grand resort.
Right.
And in the late 1960s, early 70s, the owners of the resort were retiring. Their name was Rosenthal. Young was long gone, of course. And it was bought then by the Bible School. And so it was run as a college for a while. But Young had nothing to do with that.
Most people who are familiar with Hollywood that don't live in Hollywood probably are more familiar with the Broadwalk.
Yes.
Tell us about the development of that.
Well, the Broadwalk was one of the initial ideas that he was bringing with him when he planned his city because, as I say, he wanted to be on the waterfront. He'd seen this in Long Beach. Long Beach doesn't have their beach anymore. It's been eroded away. But at the time when he lived there, it had a broad, wide beach and a cement walk. On one side, it was sand and water, and the other side had little shops. And if you think about Hollywood's Broadwalk, it was built cement. It's now paved, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and it has open to the water on one side and little shops on the other. And it was always a Broadwalk, and he intended it to be a place for people to enjoy walking. And he put the big casino swimming pool, it wasn't gambling then, to entertain people on his Broadwalk as well. And then he put in a little restaurant where they went tea dancing. It was the Tangerine Tea Room. It was Prohibition, so you went tea dancing.
So you think he'd approve of Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville?
I think he might. I think he'd regret losing his pool. It was a wonderful saltwater pool, but
What were his views on gambling?
He probably didn't want them in his city. He probably didn't. He wanted a city for middle-class values, really. And gambling had not really taken hold in the area because they were still running rum. So the ones that moved on to gambling at that point were still doing booze. And probably from everything I hear, you could bring in to the country club was very glamorous with white tablecloths, and you could bring your own bottle and sneak that in. I don't believe there was any gambling. I never heard there was until the 30s when the city was so poor they did anything they could.
And we turn next to Elaine in Hollywood. Elaine, you're up. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Interesting program. I wonder if you remember the original City Hall that was built and demolished sometime in the late 60s. My father worked there, and it was a magnificent structure.
Yes, it certainly was. My father worked there, too, because he worked for the city after Young left. That was entirely part of Young's plan. The middle circle would have this one horizontal building, so when you're standing on the boulevard in downtown, you would see that building in the distance, and it would draw your eye down. He actually had it designed. I don't know that it was completed before he left Hollywood. But yes, it was a very beautiful building.
Yes, my father worked for General Watson.
Oh, okay.
The manager.
Would have been later.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for calling, Elaine.
Uh-huh. Okay. And next caller, we've got Maurice. Maurice in Plantation.
Maurice. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I actually serve on the Citizens Advisory Board for the Hollywood Arts Park. and I really thank you for your research, Ms. Nichols. You asked the question that writers often wonder if anyone reads their books, and I let you know that the board of the Arts Park is right now looking into research and news articles and books like yours for inspiration, because we have the challenge of figuring out the types of community events we should host at the Arts Park, named for Joseph Young. We have this beautiful world-class outdoor pavilion that can host musical events from world-famous artists, but we no longer have community dollars to spend hosting these events, and we're looking at things that we can do to bring the community to really enjoy this space, and we're looking to the original intention of city founders for such spaces.
Well, the park he intended to be a garden. However, he was very much involved for having musical events. He had them on the beach. He had built a little theater, not the one that's there now, but he had a little open theater, and he had tended to be bands. Bands were big in the 20s. He had a band that played there. He had an orchestra that played in the country club, and the people were allowed to go to that. So I think he would be very much in favor of any kind of musical events. Mm-hmm. That you'd have.
Maurice, since you're affiliated with the Arts Park, are you aware that WLRN actually founded the Hollywood Jazz Festival at Young Circle in the early 80s, Ed Bell in particular, and we had 5 or 6 years of really outstanding national jazz talent there. It was quite a...
Thank you for sharing that. It will be nice to see that resurged. We'd really be interested in that. Mm.
My colleague Ed Bell has all the information on it. He's quite
sure he does.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, Maurice, if you're having any events on Founders Day, which is Sunday.
I will take a look at the schedule and find out. We definitely should commemorate that.
Well, you can
I wouldn't be surprised if we aren't.
You can learn more about Hollywood history from the Hollywood Historical Society. There's a website. You can look that up. And the Historical Society is having a party on Founders Day, for Founders Day on that Sunday, which is on the website.
Thank you so much.
It's a good place to do research.
Okay, Maurice, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And we're speaking with Dr. Joan Nicholson. She's a historian, a biographer. She used to be a museum director and curator. And she's a Hollywood, Florida pioneer by birth. Her book is Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida. Our last break. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, and historian Dr. Joan Nicholson. Of course, the subject of today's interview is Joseph W. Young, Jr., the founder of Hollywood, Florida.
Joan, have you written other mysteries? I understand you're writing a mystery now based on your 3 decades as a museum director and curator. Are you going to show me your mystery? It won't be a mystery. Okay.
Actually, that book is out.
Oh, it's out now?
Yes, it's called Done For at the Danford. And
now, why do you use a synonym? A synonym.
Because I published a great deal of nonfiction as Joan Nicholson. And I think if you were to pick up a book with that name on it and you discovered you were reading a murder mystery, you'd be confused. So I don't want to confuse my readers.
Okay, so your pseudonym is?
Michael Schering, which is basically my name. My middle name was Schering, and I was called Mike.
Okay, Michael Schering. All right. And also, when you went to Radcliffe, what year was that? Because that was kind of you don't want to say.
Long ago.
But it was unusual at that time, wasn't it?
It was for Harvard, actually, to bring in women from Florida. There were guys from Florida that had been going to Harvard, but they didn't know about us females.
Right.
The three of us from my class from Florida, my mother had gone to Radcliffe and ran a school. One taught, a father taught at the U of Miami, and the other was a lawyer. So I think we were kind of safe bets. But it was wonderful. I really loved it.
Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to join in and discuss the city of Hollywood, or Joseph W. Young. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio at WLRN.org. Joan, tell us more about Joseph Young and his publicity for Hollywood. He really had a flair for it. He had a tour bus blitz, and he also founded the Hollywood Reporter magazine to publicize the city.
I'm not sure whether he was using anybody else as an example or not, but he knew he needed to get the word out about his beautiful city. And he eventually had hired a New York ad firm. I don't have the name on the top of my head, but it was a major advertising firm. He had ads for his city in magazines like the Saturday Evening Post and Collier's and the Farm Journal to bring people down. He also sent buses. He had buses that started off in places like Washington and Indianapolis and Chicago. And if you took this bus down to Hollywood, and they would stop overnight at hotels, and if you came down and bought a piece of land, your trip was free. You could also take these same trips on a railroad, the several railroads that came down here. So he really was very much aware of the value of advertising. And when he left Hollywood in the later 20s, he had a huge office on Fifth Avenue right next to the Roosevelt Hotel where he was living. And he was still advertising his properties while he was living in New York.
Could you compare him to George Merritt?
Yeah, isn't that what he also did?
And also, I think Joseph Young also brought down in Paul Whiteman, the jazz musician.
Yes, he did.
Which George Merrick did, of course,
did he
as
really?
Well.
Oh, yeah. My mother remembers Paul Whiteman. Well, I was asked by my publisher to discuss the other developers. And there was a book that came out in 25 that listed the five top developers of Florida. And they were Fisher, Merrick, Young,
Meisner,
and Davis over in the Tampa area. So Young was listed right up there with the others. And Young was a man who was competitive in a good way. I mean, he was all, you know, rising water lifts all boats. In fact, he would send his buses to look at the other developments, like the one in Coral Gables, because he thought, if you like that better, that's fine, you know. Go by mm-hmm. there. But his attitude was very positive and upbeat.
I don't remember if you mentioned it, but did you say the name Glenn Curtis is one of the developers also?
I didn't. It wasn't listed in that group, but yes, he knew Curtis. They all knew each other. Young had known the Meisner brothers, probably because they're Californians. He had known them possibly from the Yukon.
I mean, when he was gold prospecting?
Yes, they were up there too, oddly enough. So he had known them.
Of Boca Raton.
Boca Raton. And actually, I believe Meisner was following Young when he started his Boca Raton city. But Young, on the other hand, had been using a form of architecture that was fairly simple, the Mission Revival. But his own mansion is very fancy. And I think that would be, it was built by his architects, but I think it's a Meisner type of architecture.
Let's go back to our callers. We've got Christopher. Christopher in Hollywood. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing there, Joan? Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your wonderful dissertation on Hollywood. Two quick questions. One is, there used to be an everlasting torch and a military memorial on Young's Circle. I'm sure you remember it. And they removed it when they remodeled the park. I'm wondering whatever came of that and if they ever intend on putting that back, number one.
Well, I can't speak for the city. I do remember it. I think you're not the only one that wondered about it. I think they did put something near City Hall, but this is not my period that I study well, so you should probably check with the city on that.
Okay, the other thing is back around in the 1930s, there was a huge hurricane. I don't know if it was a Labor Day storm or what, but there were barges that were pushed back to Dixie Highway because of the low water table here and things like that. Do you recall that? And if so, when was that?
No, I don't recall it. Actually, that was the 26th hurricane. The 26th hurricane did bring barges all the way up to US 1. The 35 hurricane didn't bother Hollywood and this area that much.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and keep up the good work, and we look forward to seeing more of your works. And all enjoy Founders Day.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next up, we have Tim in Hollywood. Tim, you're up. Hi.
Hi. I grew up in Hollywood. I moved here in 1960 with my parents. I was a young child. I was 8 years old, and I lived in the trailer park on the beach, right on the ocean.
That must have been fun.
It was an awesome childhood. I tell people often I had the classic Florida childhood, you know, being able to fish in the ocean and so forth.
Sand in your shoes.
And then, so I've seen a lot of changes, obviously, and then I also lived in a home, my own home, that I purchased in the lake section that was originally built and owned by the John Young's lawyer.
That's not the same family.
It's not the same family?
No.
On Madison Street?
Well, I couldn't tell you right off. He did have a son, John, Jack, but they didn't live in Hollywood once he grew up.
No, this is I'm sorry, Joseph Young's, his lawyer.
I tell you what, call the Hollywood Historical Society and we'll look it up for you. We do that all the time.
Yeah, I did. I did a county search when I bought the home.
Well, we have records on all the historic houses in Hollywood.
Right. Well, it was built by the same builder at the same time.
Oh, that's quite likely, yes. All the historic houses. Well, that's another story.
He
had designs made for houses that you could build, and you could just choose a design. They were all done by Rubush and Hunter based on the mission style.
Okay, Tim, I'm short on time. Let me get to another caller.
Okay.
Shelley in Hollywood. Hi. Shelley, go ahead, quickly.
Oh, hi. Yes. My name is Shelley DeMarco. I live in the city of Hollywood, and I would just like to say Dr. Joan Mickelson is such a wonderful resource when it comes to the history of this city. We are very active still to this day trying to complete restoration on the Hollywood Women's Club, which was built in 1927. When we need information, we go to the Historical Society. They've become like a sister group to us. And Dr. Joan is just amazing. So if you haven't met her, I just want to my praise and my thanks.
Thank you, Shelley.
Oh, thank you, Shelley. Thanks for calling.
So you're part of the
Women's Club.
The Women's Club. I was going to ask about that.
Yes.
So how far along is that project?
Well, we've completed what we called Phase 2, which was really stabilizing the building that was done two and a half years ago. It involved actually picking the entire building up and replacing the foundation and the pilings. So that's done, and now we are getting prepared for the Phase 3, where we will be making it handicapped accessible, and because the building is a beautiful, sweet little old wood frame building that needs to be updated to make it useful. The electricity has to be replaced.
Okay, Shelley, we're out of time, but we thank you so much for the update.
Thank you, Shelley.
We've been speaking with Dr. Joan Mickelson, Florida historian, biographer, author, and she also has published A Guide to Historic Hollywood, A Tour Through Time, Through Place and Time. We've been discussing her book, Joseph W. Young, Jr. and the City Beautiful, a biography of the founder of Hollywood, Florida, and Founders Day is Sunday. Thank you so much, Dr. Mickelson.
Oh, you're very welcome. Joan. This is really delightful to talk to everyone.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. And thanks for tuning in this hour. This edition of Topical Currents, produced by Richard Ives, technical direction from online producer Jason Zapka, and Polly Landis is associate producer. And apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. You can take advantage of our free audio download offer at our website. That's WLRN.org. And you can link the program to others interested in the history of Joseph Young and Hollywood. We also have the Topical Currents Facebook page as well as the iTunes podcast. City of Hollywood webpage has things to do on Founders Day this Sunday. Tomorrow we have an answer for young people, how to get a handle on the fake news phenomenon. That's what everybody's talking about. It's a program called the News Literacy Project in conjunction with the Miami-Dade Public Library System. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.